Now let's turn to the couple of the candidates in House District 30. And first of all, let's meet Democrat Linda Zog. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You ran before, and I think maybe a place to start would be, what did you learn from running for the legislature once before, and now you're giving it another try?
That I'd like to win.
Yeah.
Actually.
That the voters made a mistake the first time?
I don't know if I'd go that far. But really, I find myself that I like running. I like meeting the people in my district. I like meeting my neighbors. I like talking to people about what some of the issues are, what some of their concerns are. I'd like to be in a position to be of assistance to them. I think that my background gives me a little bit of an advantage in terms of dealing with bureaucracies and how to make them work for the benefit of folks.
For those who don't know you or don't know you well enough, tell us about your background.
I was born and raised in Ketchikan. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. My family has been here for four generations. I started out as a rookie probation officer in Southeastern a few years back, and finished up my career as the statewide director of probation and parole. I served half my career in institutions, half my career in field offices. I came to Anchorage as the superintendent of the 6th Avenue Correctional Center. I've been retired from state service now for a little over 7 years, and I've been in the private sector as a small business owner and as a realtor.
And when you go out to talk to voters in your district, what are they talking about?
They're talking about a lot of different things. The discussion regarding the gas line, in terms of what do I think of it, where do we think we're going, what's the best bet, is it through Canada or is it down to Valdez, is a bullet line really going to meet our needs, how much truth is there to the business that we're running out of gas, what are some of the alternatives out there, what do I think of alternative energy, and what are we doing about alternative energy, are we doing enough. A number of people right after the Denali KidCare veto, particularly the women at the door, were almost all to the person bringing up the issue of whether or not that was a good move and whether that hurt kids and pregnant women. We then jump off into discussions about the highways, the speed bumps, sound barriers off of Elmore. It's a little bit of everything, but it's fascinating.
And then there's some things that you probably can't do a lot about because they're municipal issues, I suppose.
Well, there are some things that it would be tough to do something about. But, you know, one of those is probably the speed bump idea. But the other side of that is that I know Senator Wilikowski was able to get some money into the budget to be able to direct it towards speed bumps in his area. And I'm thinking if it's possible for him to be able to do that, then it certainly should be possible to be able to direct that to a couple of the roads in our area, which really are a little hazardous as a result of, with Elmore going in, people are using some of those streets to cut off and speed pretty quickly through residential areas. So there are some issues that need to be addressed along those lines.
Given your background and given the previous discussion we just had here a couple minutes ago about law enforcement and drunk driving, this is an issue that concerns many people, but many people think not enough is done. What is to be done?
Well, I think that at some point we need to stop saying, you know, let's just lock them up and throw the key away. I think we have a large number of people that are involved with this, with drinking and driving, and I think we need to address the issue of drinking. I think we need to start with some treatment plans that work, and we need to do some adequate funding of those plans, and we need to funnel people into them. I think just going out and saying, let's make this a felony, or let's give them more time in jail, that really doesn't do anything. I mean, it stops the problem for a brief period of time, but it doesn't deal with the underlying cause of the problem. And I think you have to deal with that. It's not as easy to deal with, but it's something that has to be dealt with. I don't think there's an easy answer.
In the time remaining, have you given thought to how you'll vote on the ballot initiatives and why?
I have.
Please.
I think on Proposition 1, I'm voting no. I think it does restrict everyone's ability to approach their legislator, and I think that that is not something that we want to do. So I do not support that. In terms of Proposition 2, I do not support that either. I think that the unintended consequences of that particular proposition will be very, very tough on a small number of the population that really don't have any protection. You know, we start dealing with the PAPA program issue where...
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're out of time. You have 1 minute, though, for a closing statement.
Okay. Good evening. I'm Linda Zog. I'm running for the state house in the Lower Hillside, which is District 30. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. My family has lived here for four generations. I moved to Anchorage 19 years ago as the superintendent at the 6th Avenue Correctional Center. I have a 30-year career in law enforcement and corrections. For the past 7 years, I have been a small business owner and a realtor. I am running for the state house because Alaska is at a crossroads. We have surplus money as a result of high oil prices, but we do not have any long-range fiscal plans. So what about tomorrow? Now more than ever, we need to have experienced, principled leadership. We need to elect legislators who will represent you and I, or me. We need to invest in energy, jobs, and education. We need a plan. We need legislators who will work together with others for the benefit of your family and mine. I'd like to be a part of the team moving Alaska forward. I'm Linda Zog. I'm running for the state house in the Lower Hillside, and I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda Zog. Now let's meet one of the Republicans in this race, Jeanette Reddington. Welcome to running.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate
it. And you're running for the first time?
Yes.
And what moved you to get into the fray?
Well, I started looking at government around me. I'm from all over the United States. We moved quite a bit as a kid. I've only lived in Alaska for 10 years. And what really moved me to run is my family. I want my kids to be stay in Alaska and live next to me and have jobs in the future.
Okay. as a parent, I'm sure you know that the Alaska legislature spends more money on education than any other project or any other program that's not a project. Are we getting our money's worth for what we spend on education?
Well, with education in the state of Alaska, it's not just about how much the state spends. It's also about parental involvement. And I think if you look at a lot of the schools, there's not a lot of parental involvement. Kids are dropped off at school without parents checking their homework or being involved. My kids go to Anchor Lutheran, it's a private school. We spend 20 hours a year in being involved in our kids' education. I think that's important.
Okay. Every year the mayor of Anchorage sends a capital projects list to Juneau. What would you like to see near the top of that list or at the top of that list?
I would like to see public safety be at the top of the list. I'd like to see more speed bumps in our district and roads.
Okay. UAA is an important part of Anchorage. Does UAA get its fair share of state revenue, state spending, in the total budget of the University of Alaska?
I believe UAA does get a fair share of its revenue from the state budget. They may have too much. I'm not 100% sure on that, and that's a good question.
On the oil issues, the AGEA program or process is moving forward. And I wonder if you've had some time to think about AGEA and what you make of it.
I would like to see less taxes for our oil and gas. They make up anywhere from 80 to 90% of our state spending. And when we tax the company, they're less likely to develop and explore in Alaska. And we depend heavily on their investment.
Okay. Keeping with the oil industry, is there a bullet line in our future, a bullet line from the North Slope to South Central to provide us with gas or oil?
I'd really like that. I think that'd be a great idea. I would like to have a bullet line go through Fairbanks, go to Anchorage, and then be able to export that overseas so we can make up some of the cost of the bullet line and keep costs low for consumers.
Here's something that's important to all Alaskans, and perhaps particularly for young people because they're thinking about their future. Have you given any thought of what the future of the Alaska Permanent Fund looks like? I mean, right now we're spending money on dividends, but nothing else.
I think we need to leave the Permanent Fund intact. A lot of people use the Permanent Fund as discretionary spending in their households. They rely on that for Christmas presents, anywhere to bills, and we need to leave the Permanent Fund for them.
Okay. And could you describe your district and tell us, when you get out and have the opportunity to meet people in your district, what are they talking about?
My district's the Lower Hillside, and a lot of people are talking about education. They talk about No Child Left Behind and how the federal mandates affect their classrooms. A lot of teachers don't have the resources for their classrooms. They're having to go out and raise funds on their own and buy it out of their own pocket. And a lot of people are talking about roads. They talk about safety being across the street on Abbott and on Elmore to go to the park. Ruth Arcade Park is across the road, and a lot of these parks are not accessible.
Have you had the opportunity to think about how you're going to vote on the ballot propositions next week, week one and two?
On ballot number, on Prop 1, I'm going to vote no. I believe it's too overreaching. It's too much government regulation. And on Proposition 2, I'm going to vote yes. I believe notification and the legal aspect of that will be able to shelter children that need the government's involvement and protection.
Okay. The Kinnick Arm crossing. Are we going to have a Kinnick Arm crossing, or is it a pipe dream?
I hope it's not a pipe dream. I like being able to drive out to the valley. We go to the cabin up north for snow machining. I love going out there, and a kick and a bridge would be awesome. I hope we get it.
There's a lot of rhetoric about stimulating the economy, that government should stimulate the economy. What can government do to improve the Alaska's economy?
Alaska's economy is doing fairly well in comparison. I have family in Michigan, family in Illinois, and I just came back from Florida. If you want to talk about major economic problems, you need to go to Lower 48.
We have about one minute for a closing statement. If you could give us your closing statement, please, Jeanette Reddington.
Well, thank you. My name is Jeanette Reddington, and I'm running for State House for District 30, the Lower Hillside. I'll bring my education and experience to Juneau. I hope to make conservative policies based on common sense to help our district. My name is Jeanette Reddington, Lower Hillside.